If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings and the love of the all that is. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. So, this evening, our topic is the best kept secret, metaphysically speaking, is none of this ever happened. So stop making it real. None of this ever happened. So stop making it real. So that having been established, let's take a deep breath. And just let the world kind of drop off your shoulders. Remove them from the bottom of your ears. Relax. If none of this ever happened, what's the big deal? So what's the worry? Oh, you got to have fun with this stuff. If none of it's real, you just got to laugh. It's Looney Tunes, right? So, as you position yourself and relax and just vibe into where we're coming from this evening, just allow yourself to dance with the information. It's going to probably be very different from what you're used to hearing. And that's a good thing, because if we hear what we think we know all the time, we don't really hear what perhaps we need to hear. And with things spiritual, it's always in the cracks, as it were, between the obvious and the hidden that we kind of have to wiggle in to find that truth, which is never... It's like a diamond. It's never just out there in the fish market. You got to kind of dig and have the courage to look and not to be put off by what you think you see. I really believe that in our journey, it seems that at some point, somewhere in our life, in our spiritual unfoldment, we get to a place where we simply admit to ourselves, you know what? I don't have a clue who I am, or what I am, or why I am. And moreover, I don't have an idea at all what I really want. I don't know what I want. I don't have a clue as to what I need. And the whole thing is like a big mystery to me. And I think actually that's a really good place to find yourself, because now perhaps you're ready to listen. Perhaps now, when we get to that place, we're ready to open up to an entirely radical, different point of view. So I'd like to start with a portion from Helen Schuckman's gorgeous, I guess you'd call it a, well, she called it The Forgotten Song. And this is just a portion, but I'm going to use it as a meditation. So just take a deep breath and relax and just offer this next hour to the Holy Spirit, to that divine knower that's in your mind, that remembers who you are and holds that steady even when you forget. And in your deepest, darkest pits, that one assures that you will awaken in great joy. And so that is the part of you that always knows, that is the inner master, that is the inner guide, that is the voice for God, that speaks to you through everything in your life, offering you a simple choice. And it's simply this. Do you want to follow the ego or the Holy Spirit? One is your guide to truth, and the other is not, but offers you the distractions of the world, which may for a time entertain you. But ultimately and inevitably, will awaken as the all that is within the heart of all love. And realize quite simply you never left. And that's the good news. So let's just present ourselves now and just take this lovely and brief journey home into the reality in which you dwell forever. And this is from The Forgotten Song. Beyond the body, beyond the sun and stars, past everything you see, and yet somehow familiar, is an arc of golden light that stretches as you look into a great and shining circle. And all the circle fills with light before your eyes. The edges of the circle disappear. And what is in it is no longer contained at all. The light expands and covers everything, extending to infinity forever, shining with no break or limit anywhere. Within it, everything is joined in perfect continuity. Nor is it possible to imagine that anything could be outside, for there is nowhere that this light is not. This is the vision of the Son of God, whom you know well. Here is the sight of him who knows his Father. Here is the memory of what you are, a part of this, with all of it within, and joined to all, as surely as all is joined in you. So take a deep breath, and join with God within your mind, in a condition of perfect oneness and gratitude. Last week we showed you how you could find God in your mind. The simple intention to connect to that still place of absolute equanimity and peace. Practice that often. Be still an instant and join with God. Remember that you remain as God created you, that you're not a body, that no body could ever contain you. You are that limitless light. And moreover, as you meditate, as you join with God, it's been my experience to see this shining circle. I was actually surprised to find it in A Course in Miracles described after I'd had the experience. But that's where you step into the kingdom of heaven within you. You'll see it as a great and shining circle that appears at your third eye. And as you step into it, it just becomes limitless light. And all of the boundaries dissolve and disappear. And that is where we enter the real world. That is where we find the radiant way. When Jesus the Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that's what he was referring to, that the kingdom of heaven was within. But know that you are the Christ, that God has only one Son, and you are it. You are the uniquely begotten, promised one, the anointed one, the love of God. And that is all you are. So we're told to teach only love, because love is what we are. And we will learn what we teach. So to be a teacher of God, we learn that we are only love, and that love is the only lesson here, and we learn to teach only love. But first we have to find that love, which is not the special love that we accord to certain people that have found our favor in our human lives, or what seems to be a human life. That's not love. That's attachment to people doing it a certain way, which turns quickly to bitterness and hatred when they don't do it that way any longer. So that's not love. We're talking about God's love, not the ego substitution for love, which is really attachment and expectation. So our life is totally driven by the mind, and the mind by either of two thought systems. Now, those thought systems are mutually exclusive. They cannot coexist. One cancels out the other. And the two thought systems determine what your life experiences will be. They each run on a particular track, a particular script. So the only real choice that we actually have is between these two thought systems. The one is of the ego mind, which sees everything as separate, and moreover is the embodiment of separation, and thus fear, or false evidence appearing real. And the other choice is the Holy Spirit, which is actually who you are. When the illusion falls away, you find that you, yourself, are an embodiment of the Holy Spirit. Every true teacher, every true enlightened person simply becomes an embodiment of that one divine spirit. So each of these two mindsets, let's say, the spirit of illusion or the ego, or the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, each of them will unfold a very specific life script. And one choice leads to further entrapment in the illusion of separation, and the other to awakening from the illusion of separation. So in this seminar, we're taking a radical departure from just about everyone and how they think in the world. Just about everything and everyone in the world is following after the pattern of the ego mind. This is a world of bodies and separate forms and attack and vengeance and war and pain. That world, which most people believe and operate as if it were real. So, what would you rather be? What would you rather be? Happy and be in the world that is the real world? that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you, or just go along with the way the world seems to be. Jesus has this to say, this is from A Course in Miracles, I have stated that the basic concepts referred to in this course are not matters of degree. Certain fundamental concepts cannot be understood in terms of opposites. It is impossible to conceive of light and darkness, or everything and nothing as joint possibilities. They are all true or all false. It is essential that you realize your thinking will be erratic until a firm commitment to one or the other is made. He continues, you are as God created you, and so is every living thing you look upon, regardless of the images you see. What you behold as sickness and as pain, as weakness and as suffering and loss, is but temptation to perceive yourself defenseless and in hell. Yield not to this, and you will see all pain in every form, wherever it occurs, but disappear as mists before the sun. You know, that's what's so amazing, is that as the misconceptions in the mind are brought to truth, that is to say, they're turned over, every time you're in confusion, every time that you don't know what to do or what to think of something, when you turn to that inner master and ask to be shown the truth, that which doesn't serve you is dissolved for you automatically. As soon as you decide to allow that part of you to lead you, rather than just following after the thoughts that arise from the mind, the lower mind, the false self, you'll find that the work is done for you. All you have to do is be willing to turn it over, to consider things from a different angle, to question, and not just follow after every thought. So, forgiveness is not understood by the world. The world makes the error real, makes you believe that there's others out there who have done something wrong against you, and then you forgive them. No, that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness, according to Jesus, is to realize that none of it ever happened, because no one is really here. No one has left the heart of God. This is all a big, colossal dream. Samsara, Maya, illusion, mood making, mental projection, a movie that the false self is projecting on the very innocent screen of creation, and then pretending as if it were real, and then actually buying into it as real. And that's called living in the mode of ignorance, being sound asleep, and so forth. So forgiveness actually erases time. Jesus often mentions in the Course of Miracles that as you do the course, you're saving yourself time. I didn't actually understand what that meant for a long time. But as you look past and realize that nobody has ever been here, nobody has done anything, no one's guilty, everyone is innocent, that no one is a body, we're watching phantoms of our own conjuration, as we move into that perspective and look beyond to the truth, which is everyone is God. Everyone is the beloved. That's the only truth. That's the only reality. Then that looking beyond is forgiveness. That recognizing that it never happened is that forgiveness. And that erases time and the dimensions of apparent duality scenarios. Now, this is where it gets really interesting. According to the Course in Miracles, the very instant that insane thought arose in the mind of God's Holy Son, which is you and me and everyone, there's only one Son, which seemed to be proliferated into many, there's only one. As soon as that insane thought of separation arose in the mind, it was instantly created. But out of that insane instant, because of the co-creative nature, consciousness was born. Consciousness is the birth of the ego. To be conscious of something, you have to have a separate otherness to be conscious of. So the consciousness of duality proliferated instantly into a multifold, multidimensional, time-space locked creation, which is a false creation. It's not the real creation. The real creation is completely safe and untouched. This creation is like a shadow. It's like a shadow. Sai Baba describes it as like a, you know, where you see a coiled rope in the grass and you mistake it for a snake. We look upon this world of many forms and we mistakenly assume that it is apart from God and that we are apart from each other and that we have no inherent oneness. And when that happens, then fear arises. You have to have that sense of otherness to have a sense of fear. Now, what's interesting is, as each person within the time-space dream awakens, really awakens, because creation is holographic, that's part of the illusion, but it's perceived as holographic, within the whole hologram, there is a lightning that takes place. Greater light begins to spread, begins to invade the darkness and disperse it. When all of humanity awaken, which is ultimately going to happen, all of the illusion of all of these dimensions and universes and time-space itself will simply vanish. They'll go back into the nothingness because they never had any inherent life to begin with. So only our own unforgiven guilt is what is holding us in the dream illusion of separation. The Course in Miracles says that the forgiveness of God's Son is what this world is for. So forgiveness is our assignment. What is forgiveness again? To realize none of this ever happened. None of this ever happened. None of it. Let's make it a little easier. Perhaps we could consider it this way. Let's take a what-if approach. What if this is really true, that none of this ever happened? Let's try it on and consider what our life would be like if we fully realized this. Yeah, we're talking about you, your appearance here, your belief that you're in a body with a name and a, you know, everything that goes with that belief you're a body. This world, this earth, all of its problems, the universe, time, space, history? What if none of this ever happened? Absolutely none of it. What if you realized you simply fell asleep and had a series of dreams? Now, because in that instant when that insane thought arose in the holy mind, and caused it to fall into the sleep of duality, in that instant, all of the possible, probable, parallel realities of choices and parallel whatevers, past, present, future, all of the lifetimes and embodiments and experiences, all of those happened at the same time. It's like, bam, all of it. That's really the Big Bang. It all just like, phew. It's all illusion, but it proliferated all of the possible, probable choices. Now, you find yourself here, and, you know, you keep going through the lessons again and again and again and again until finally you realize, oh, I'm only looking at myself. Wherever I look, I'm only seeing myself. So you see what you need to forgive and heal in your own subconscious, unconscious mind. And you tell what that is by what you dislike, oppose, resent, what you find irritating, intolerable, blamable in others. So you actually change your experience of yourself and your whole life by changing how you look at others. So it's actually developing the habit of seeing only God in another, only the good, only the godly, only the praiseworthy. And for a while, it's like a, you know, it's a drill. You have to kind of really work to do that because it's not easy. You know, the mind has been conditioned to see others as different, separate, blamable, you know, all of that. Now, you can train yourself to remember that you are seeing the contents of your unconscious mind represented all around you in your life. That's the contents of your subconscious mind. Of course, Miracle said that the ego mind created this multi-dimensional, universal dream, nightmare, really, to hide from God within. So the first thing that the ego mind did was, like in cell division, it began to multiply and replicate itself to look like there were many beings out there. And then it hid its subconscious mind in those others by projecting it, outward in the outer world. Clever, huh? Well, sort of. As clever as stupidity and illusion can be. So, as you remind yourself, oh, I don't like that in that particular whatever, that person. So, you forgive yourself by realizing that that person is not really there. That person is simply your guide to truth or your guide to further entrapment, depending on how you see that person. How you see that person is really indicative of how you see yourself. That's why Jesus said, judge not, lest you be judged. Because as you judge another, you are indicting yourself. So you but see yourself only. You entirely populate your reality. That is what you've chosen to make real. Now, when you make what you're forgiving real, you do not set yourself free. So when you look at that person and you you believe, well, they really did rape me, or they really did abuse me, or that person really is a so-and-so. And then you think, well, it's a good Christian thing to do to forgive them, so I'll forgive them. Nah, you've just projected the ego's version of forgiveness, which is to hold that person blamable, but just say the words of I forgive you, but it's not really real. So when you make what you're forgiving real, as if it really happened, you do not set yourself free. But when you realize that by forgiving that person, you're actually forgiving and setting yourself free, by realizing that that person is innocent, that person is an embodiment of the divine, actually that person is not even here in any real sense, but it's better you see them as an embodiment of the divine, as Christ, than as an actual person out there. And then when you look past that behavior and realize, just ignore the behavior, just keep going to that default setting, none of it ever happened. The person is innocent, you're innocent, then you have dissolved that part of your mind that has kept you bound. So if every day you keep going through your day, forgiving everything that gives the rise to the slightest negativity within you, you keep setting yourself free and free and free. Until after a while that becomes automatic. You don't even have to think about it. You become so used to feeling good and clear and loving and kind and open-hearted that you just don't even go there with your mind anymore. Judgment is just not, just doesn't show up on your radar anymore. And then you know you're homeward bound. So you alone accord reality to the things in your projection of reality. Or more accurately, your illusion of reality. You make it real when you react as if you were the hapless victim of the world and other people. That's when you're making it real. When you react, when you get mad and upset and angry and afraid and reactive in any way, that's when you're making it real. You're making a big deal out of it, so it'll make a big deal out of you. To undo the ego, you need to realize none of this ever really happened. You are innocent, and so is everyone else. And in this world, it will be real to you in your dream, only if you decide it's real. And again, you can decide with the Holy Spirit, which sees everything and everyone in original divine innocence and holiness, or through the ego's point of view, which is always one of threat, vengeance, and attack. So in your dream, you alone cause things to appear and to interact with you and affect you according to your wish. The ego has an agenda to keep you believing that you are a vulnerable body in a threatening world. It likes to keep you scared and worried. If you doubt that, just watch the news. One scary thing after another. I don't watch the news anymore. I used to, thinking I had to send the light to all of these people, and then I realized, oh, it's just a bunch of nonsense. Why even, you know, they're going to work it out. It never really happened, and so I don't really need to care one way or the other. You just forgive it all. You just realize, you know, only God is real. Only love is real. Only what God has created is real. And that's all I'm interested in focusing on. So even if you seem to be having a nice dream, the ego will find a way to keep you anxious about maintaining whatever it is that you have in that nice dream. It'll keep you jealous if you get the, you know, the perfect lover. He'll keep you envious of others if you get the nice house and the car or you don't. He'll keep you greedy and ambitious to get more and more for yourself. And that way the ego keeps you distracted from your perfect wholeness, your perfect abundance, and the love of your true divine nature. So interesting. You know, it's like Jesus describes it this way. You can be in the hell, the ego's worst nightmare, or you can be in the happy dream of spiritually being on a path and awakening. But ultimately, you'll awaken and find none of it's real. The good times aren't real any more so than the bad times. The heavens that you create down here are no more real than the hells you create. They're both states of mind. But I'll tell you, the person that's really in hell is the person who has closed themselves down from love. That feels separate from love. And, of course, that goes without saying they're going to feel separate from God. So the ego wants you to identify yourself with the world of duality, with its many forms and bodies, and to see them all as different. And make sure that you keep concerned about your body, what size it is, what shape it is, what color it is, what gender it is, whether it's healthy or sick, and the bodies of others and what they are doing. It's all about the body. The ego uses the body as its fortress to say that you are separate from other bodies and that you need to be protected and defended from other bodies. Yep, that's the ego's dictum. So Jesus in A Course in Miracles states that as we see another, we will see ourselves. And thus we either lose ourselves or find ourselves, depending on how we relate and see another. So our holy brother and sister is our guide to peace. And when we see the divinity and holiness of another, that person then becomes as a guide home. So every true teacher of truth is simply another appearance of the one Holy Spirit, adapting and adopting a form that you can relate to and trust. And as you fully awaken and are aware that you've never in highest truth left the heart of God, you step out entirely of the system of time, space, and separation. In that state, you exist in complete oneness with all, with everyone. You'll find that everyone and everything that you love is there with you forever. And you can step in and out of time at will. You exist out of time, space, and separation, out of the birth and death and karmic cycles, all of that. And you can adapt and adopt and move into and appear as any one of your many forms from your many lifetimes in any place that you wish, but you're not entrapped. Now, something I recently became aware of that I didn't know is that when you reincarnate, you actually don't reincarnate, or when you have the dream of reincarnation, because you don't really, you know, being embodied in one body or many bodies doesn't make sense if you've never been embodied at all. But within the belief that you have other lifetimes, according to Jesus in the Course of Miracles, that reincarnation pattern is not linear, which means that you can re-embody in any place in the timeline, past, present, or future, that would best serve as your learning arena and learning to undo the ego by forgiveness. So we have an understanding of things being in linear progression, which doesn't apply in a holographic universe. You go where that lesson can best be learned. So So how we view the world and worldly issues and people we encounter each day indicates what we need to forgive and thus heal in ourselves. The daily encounters and in person or while in interacting in the social media or watching TV or other forms of media, these are all for the purpose of looking beyond and forgiving, recognizing that none of this is really happening, and forgiving, which is thus healing and erasing the pain and the hidden guilt, which is the source of all pain, within your own subconscious mind. You only forgive yourself. That's the interesting thing. You only see yourself. You only interact with yourself. You only forgive yourself. And it is only by forgiving and realizing, by realizing it never really happened, that enables that subconscious guilt to be dissolved and for you to realize your own enlightenment and freedom. If you forgive something you have already made real to yourself, has really having happened, you will not release that guilt or have that sense of freedom. It'll keep coming back again and again to your mind, and you'll have to keep dealing with it. But once you've recognized it never really happened, it won't show up again. It'll be dissolved. By whom? By the Holy Spirit. The Divine Spirit dissolves whatever you offer. So the ego avoids true forgiveness, which would cause that guilt and the ego both to disappear and you to awaken home free. So it wants to keep you in the world's version of forgiveness, which is to see it as real and then do the lip service. So the world and everything that seems to occur has only one real purpose the Holy Spirit has given. Has given us, actually, while we still dream that we are here. And that is to realize none of it happened and to forgive it all. To see through the illusion to the holy, innocent Son of God. So the real you has never been in a body at all, ever. You are home with God and will remain with God forever. You fell asleep and have dreamt the whole time-space universe of duality and separation and bought into it as being real. It always feels real when you're in a dream, doesn't it? It always feels real when you're in a dream. The difference is that when you wake up in the morning, generally speaking, you don't feel guilty. However, when we fell into the dream of separation from God, we had a guilt and a fear so horrific that came into us that is actually the burden of pain that haunts us all the time. No matter how we try to get out from under it, there's that thing that's like heavy in our heart, in our mind, in our innermost being that keeps us from being truly joyful and truly free. And that's that fear that somehow God's going to get us. You know, there's a vengeful and wrathful God that's going to, get us. And that, of course, is all made up by the ego mind. And the guilt we feel is because we believe that we really, really are in competition with God, that we really have the power to separate from what God has created eternally one, which is an insane thought, completely impossible. And yet this whole world of misery and suffering is simply the outpicturing of that belief. There is no pain that will not instantly dissolve the minute you realize that you're absolutely innocent. That's what Jesus said. I still have pain, so obviously I'm still a work in process. Still trying to look beyond, realize that none of it ever happened. That's why I'm teaching this, so that I can learn it. You can't teach something unless you want to learn it. So, in our little what-if foray, what if you realize none of this happened and you simply fell asleep and had a series of dreams? What if there never was any universe of duality and separation? No time, space, no boundaries, no limitations. No wars, no evil, no suffering, no pain, no sickness, no death. What if these all simply vanished as you awakened? What if you realized you only dreamt of these things? That they were all just imagination? That they have no substance, no reality to them at all, and that you remain and have always been 100% divine spirit, absolutely pure, no sin, no guilt, nothing to be sorry or ashamed about, no matter what it is, you only dreamt it, it never really happened at all. What if everything you feared and were concerned about simply vanished? And limitless joy and peace remained? What if you saw only your own perfect wholeness and holiness? And your dearest beloved in everyone? What if you experienced the presence of all the love of everyone as your own self? What if you awakened in heaven, now, in a home you'd never left, nor could ever depart? What if you couldn't even remember any of that? What if, as you awakened, the illusions you dreamt were simply erased, and with it all the karmas and imaginary lifetimes and divisions of separation and all the hells and purgatories, they just simply vanished? Well, that's what Jesus, who is the embodiment of the Holy Spirit, that's what he says is going to happen. Has already happened. It's just that we're needing to choose and do our forgiveness work if we're going to realize it. So the world of pain, suffering, wars, terrorism, and death, and even the more pleasant world scenarios of temporary success, happiness, wealth, and well-being, they're equally unreal. The world that we see with the body's eyes is not the real world that God created, in which we still remain but have lost sight of. The world we see with the body's eyes exists nowhere but in our own unconscious mind, where all self-condemnation, judgment, and guilt are hidden. In fact, the world itself is simply the outpicturing of the contents of our collective unconscious guilt. The more that people awaken, this is a huge key, the more people can awaken and begin to do their conscious forgiveness work by realizing none of this ever happened, that we all are innocent, that we're all embodiments of God. The more people that do that, the more we will erase the possible prophetic scenarios of doomsday and destruction and Armageddon and all of those awful visions that have been projected out by the frightened ego minds of others. The more we awaken and do our forgiveness work, and the more people that do that, the more we will start erasing those scenarios as even possible, probable realities. We'll start collapsing those illusion fields, those realms of illusion, those dimensional probabilities in the past, in the future, and in the present at the same time. We'll start erasing them. And we won't have to go through them. I'm hoping, praying, and believing that that's what's happening right now. So that is one of the ways that we can truly help the world is by forgiveness now. Forgiving everyone, everything. And keep telling yourself, this never happened. Jesus said we have to learn to look upon the face of devastation and say, this never happened. Goodness knows we have plenty of opportunity to practice that now. Every time you turn on the news or even the weather channel, all you see is pictures of devastation. I'm remembering more and more to remind myself this never happened. This is an image that my ego mind is trying to convince me is real. But I accept the joy of God and the evidence of God and the Holy Spirit, not my mind. So we see through the eyes of faith that which is unseen to the body's eyes. We see an inner world that's revealed by a transformation, what we see without as we do our forgiveness work. As we keep forgiving and releasing and looking beyond, reminding ourselves this never happened, this person is innocent, the situation is innocent. And we keep healing and erasing those places in our mind that feed into and perpetrate the activating of dire scenarios. We don't have to go through those things. If enough of us choose to quit projecting our guilt into other people and other things and other situations, if we will begin to own it and forgive it within our own being, we won't see those things happen in the outer world. And thus we will save time. We will collapse time. We'll begin the process of erasing the time that we seem to be experiencing and the scenarios that we seem to keep projecting. So the world that you see with the body's eyes is not the one God created. So many people are angry at God and blame God for the things that are happening in the world. But according to Jesus, God does not have anything to do whatsoever with a projected nightmare of an ego mind. For God is not the author of either. Illusion is illusion, and that which is truth itself could not possibly be the author of illusion. That which is love itself could not possibly be the author of agony, suffering, pain, hell, and death. These are things that I'm coping with as I try to understand the teachings of Jesus, which are so deep and profound. And they reverse the way that we customarily think and believe and have been indoctrinated. So it takes some time to practice and to make a habit of seeing things in a different way, of asking to be shown through the eyes of Christ how to truly see, and to turn our minds over to the Lord so that He may correct. He says that the guiltless mind cannot suffer. The guiltless mind knows no pain. And in the Course of Miracles, He makes it very clear that because He knew He was not a body and did not project guilt, that He experienced no pain during the crucifixion. Sai Baba actually said that in an interview, but of course most of us, including myself, we didn't get it at the time. So guilt, subconscious guilt, is the cause of every form of pain, wherever it is experienced on any level. And pain, according to Jesus, is always the result of wrong perception. Pain in relationships is always the result of projecting one's subconscious guilt upon another. And as Jesus reminds us in the Course, whenever I am upset, it is never for the reason I think. I'm upset because I'm seeing something that is not there. So let's remember that the next time we're tempted to be upset. Let's remind ourselves we're upset because we're seeing something that's not there. And we're trying to make it real. The only thing that's real here is that none of it has ever happened. So let's take a deep breath and go out chanting. Anayu. Anayu. God bless you. May your minds be peaceful. And may you awaken and realize that you've never left the heart of God. Adonai.